Hello, everybody, and welcome back into another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable. And we are up to the New Jersey Devils with our season previews here at the site. And I've got three writers from the New Jersey Devils writing team, Neil Villapiano, Daniel Moya, and Josh Reinitz. Welcome, gentlemen, to YouTube. We haven't had any of you on any of our shows in the past because we lost our credentialed writer, Christy Flannery, who used to do all these shows, but we got three great writers here to replace her. We're going to preview the Devils. First of all, Josh, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks. Christy's got a big high heels to fill, so we're going to do the best we can here. No pun intended.
For sure. Daniel, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Josh there. I don't know if we could fill Christy's shoes, but if we could come close, that's a great thing. So.
For sure. We need three people to fill it. And Neil, how's it going?
I'm doing well, man. Living the dream as always.
All right. Well, let's get moving into the New Jersey Devils. They had a ridiculously good season last year. I made it to the second round of the playoffs and got destroyed by the Carolina Hurricanes, unfortunately. But had some great performances from a bunch of different players. They basically transitioned from a rebuilding team to a contender. Arguably, they got some great young talent led by Jack Hughes. And, you know, they were just a really good team last year. I mean, that's just bottom line. So let's move into the previewing this season and talk about the forward group. And let's start with some of the new additions. And we'll start with Tyler Toffoli. And Neil, I'll start with you. I mean, this guy comes from the Calgary Flames, 30 goals last year, I believe 31. And he's coming into New Jersey, adding to this deep offense. What do you expect from him in his first season with the Devils?
Well, I've had a chance to kind of talk about Toffoli several times, and I know people have asked me before about what Toffoli brings to New Jersey. And I think the biggest thing out of everything is that he's a finisher. And I think that that's really important for this Devils team. We have a lot of guys that do a tremendous job of feeding the puck to each other, but not enough guys that really have a nose for the goal and, you know, are really consistently looking to try to finish their finish those passes and obviously get the puck in the back of the net. And that's what Toffoli brings. He also brings Stanley Cup and a ton of playoff experience. And I think that that's, again, another major factor for this still very young Devils team. And, you know, it's really exciting. And, you know, Tom Fitzgerald, he found another way to upgrade the top six. And, again, not having to give up much of the future to acquire a guy who I know is on a 1 year, you know, 1 year left on his deal. But this could be a guy maybe potentially could be here for a couple of years if Toffoli likes how things are in New Jersey and we're able to get a reasonable deal done. But I'm really excited to see what he can do on the power play. And also, I think his penalty kill ability is really good. He's a very good two-way forward. So I think overall, it's going to be a really awesome addition. And I think he has the makings to be one of those X-factor guys that maybe people didn't expect to have as much production as he did. But I think he's in for a really, really good year with this very young, talented Devils team.
Mm-hmm. And correction, he had 34 goals last season.
I was going to say, in my brain, he had 34. It was career highs for him in goals, I think also in points as well.
Yeah, he was really good, played all 82 games last season, 73 points. So, yeah, he was really good. Toffoli, I'm just happy he's back out east because he just destroys the Vancouver Canucks whenever he plays them. So he's back out east. Now they have to play him twice instead of amount, I think, four times with Calgary. All right, moving to you, Daniel, talking about the other forward addition and Thomas Nosek. Obviously not going to be as impactful offensively as Toffoli, but very good depth guy. What do you see Nosek bringing to the team this year?
I think he really fills a role for this perfectly. I actually got the chance to speak to Ken Danico a few weeks ago, and he said he really liked the move because he's just one of those role players. If you look at the Golden Knights, who just won the Cup, they weren't necessarily the most talented team on paper, but they had players who fulfilled their roles perfectly. And that's kind of what Tom Fitzgerald is going after now. Nosek's great in the dot. He's a big guy, relatively physical. He's really just a solid fourth line player, and I think that's going to be a huge thing for this Devils team.
Yeah, and he was a later addition in the offseason here, probably most recent. So, and he can play both center and wing. So very versatile guy. I think he will bring a lot to that bottom six. Right, Josh, as our credentialed writer at the Hockey Writers here, what do you feel Timo Meier, who is really, he is a new addition because he only played like half the season, not even half the season after the deadline there. What do you see him bringing to the team in a full season and a new contract at 8.8 million cap hit? What are your expectations of him this season?
I think Timo brings something that the Devils probably haven't had in 10, 15 years in terms of having a power forward who can score like that, and contribute up and down the lineup and wherever you need him. As Neil and Daniel talked about, their power play was a huge issue last year. Having Toffoli and having Meier completely changes the tenor of the power play. I mean, either one of them would have led the team in power play goals last year. So I think Meier just gives you credibility, and there's a handful of guys in the NHL that are true power forwards like Meier. And you see what somebody like Matthew Tkachuk has done for the teams he's been on. Meier can probably do the same in New Jersey.
Yeah, he's a very impactful player and only 26 years old. So he's not old. He's in that prime of his career. So it's going to be fun to see what he can do in a full season and beyond for the Devils. All right, back to you, Neil, for this forward group. Do you have any other big storylines you're kind of watching going into training camp? Potentially whenever you guys are watching this, it could be tomorrow. But what do you got for a storyline for the forwards here?
I think for me, the most interesting storyline is what is going to happen with Alex Holtz. I had a chance to actually talk to his trainer, Daniel Broberg, a couple weeks back. And, I asked him about, what is it that Holtz is working on that's going to really help him in terms of, making a spot on this roster? Because the Devils, reportedly told Holtz at the end of the year, at his end of the season meeting, that this training camp was a make it or break it for him here in New Jersey. And obviously he's working on his speed and obviously being more confident shooting the puck. That's the thing that makes him really successful. That's what made him a top prospect in his draft year, that this kid loves to shoot the puck. And we saw a couple of instances, little previews of what he can do last season in the very little time that he played. And I think if you put him in the right position, I do think that he is going to do well. I'd like to see him play a little bit of power play. I think starting the season with him on a line with maybe Hall and Palat, two veteran reliable guys, and creating favorable matchups, I think for him would be a good kind of start. And I think overall he could be a guy that maybe could sneak into the top six if he continues to perform well. So Alex Holtz is a guy that I think a lot of people need to keep their eye on when training camp gets underway and once we get into the preseason. He's kind of a big storyline for me because we have pretty much the top six set right now. It's just about how the rest of the roster kind of fills in, and we don't have very many spots to fill, especially with the forward group. So he's a guy that I'm really, really keen on keeping my eye on and excited to see when we get to training camp.
Yeah, Alex Holtz is an exciting player. I followed him during his draft year quite closely, and he's exciting, and hopefully he can kind of hit that potential. He's only 21. So, I mean, he's got a lot of years to go.
People forget that he's that young still. I think sometimes we forget, especially with how quickly the team has ascended. I think people forget how young Holtz still is.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, we'll see if this is the season he actually realizes a bit of that potential moving forward. Right, Daniel, what do you have? Do you have any other storylines you're kind of following going into training camp with this forward group?
So with the forward group, I think this isn't something people think about a lot, but Tyler Toffoli is going to be a huge player to watch because, yes, we just highlighted how great he was, but he's getting a little up there in age, not crazy, but a little. And last year was definitely a career year for him. He's always been solid, but it's good whether he's able to play up to his past career or to last year is going to be a big difference. And I think if he's able to replicate his numbers from last season, the Devils are going to be, I think, a wagon in this league. And adding that type of dynamic to the top six, I watched him in the World Championships with Team Canada. He was dynamite. Tyler Toffoli, every time he touched the puck, he was dangerous. And if you're adding that to a Devils team that has Heischer, Hughes, Meyer, Bratt, etc., that is so scary for the rest of the league. So if Toffoli's able to keep on that pace, that's going to look like one of the greatest moves a GM has maybe ever made, because this team is really set up for success if Toffoli's replicating those numbers.
For sure. If you can hit that 30-plus again, I mean, that's pretty good. And having Andre Palat on your third line, potentially, that's also really good. So
crazy. It's crazy that he's on the third. Like, we have Palat. We're so deep that we have Palat on the third line.
Yeah, it is a deep lineup for sure. Josh, finishing off with you, any other storylines you're kind of following going to training camp?
Well, in terms of the forwards, I think the question is, and it's sort of what Neil touched on, is who's going to break through? You have Nolan Foote, who Fitzgerald has been really bullish on, said he's the ideal case for player development. They really like what they've seen. He's spent time at center down in the AHL, which he hadn't done previously. And then you have somebody like Graham Clark, who's another guy in his early 20s, I think 23, who also had 58 points, I think, last year in the AHL and is ready to move up. The interesting thing with Foote is he's out of options, as they say. You know, he's not waivers exempt anymore, so it's going to be put up or shut up time come training camp. So I think that battle and the fact that they got Nosek and Lazar over the last couple months, you know, there's less room for somebody like Foote even on the fourth line. So I think it's going to be a ton of competition in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of space for these guys to move into the lineup. You got pretty set four lines at this point, even extra forwards. So like Lazar is an extra forward, according to Cap Friendly. You got Lazar and Tierney as your extra forwards. And those two guys can be NHL lineups. So that's going to be interesting to follow for sure. All right, let's move to the back end. And they didn't add anyone, really. I mean, Colin Miller, I guess, could be a pretty good addition. But I mean, overall, this defense is returning pretty much the way, except Luke Hughes is coming in, probably going to play a full season. So let's start with those two guys. Daniel, I'll go with you with Luke Hughes. I mean, this is a guy he's only 19 years old, and he could potentially be in the lineup full time. First of all, do you see him in the lineup full time? And what other thoughts you got for this defense going into the season?
I think Luke Hughes will 100% be in the lineup every single night. There's going to be some growing pains, as we saw in bits in the playoffs. But if you look at game 5 against Carolina, we're on the road with our season on the line. Luke Hughes was incredible. Lindy Ruff played him 25 minutes that night, and he held his own and then some. And we just see the dynamic skating ability, he sets up to be an elite defenseman in this league. And obviously that's just a normal trait in the Hughes family, but it's going to be really exciting to watch. I think fans need to temper their expectations a little bit, because there's going to be turnovers. There's going to be growing pains. There's going to be times he's out of position. That's just what happens when you're a 19 going on 20-year-old defenseman in the National Hockey League. And he's probably going to get some tough matchups as well. I think Ruff is going to purposely throw him to the wolves a little bit to kind of help him and show him what it's like to match up against the big dogs in this league. So I think everyone just needs to look at it like, this kid's going to be great. He might struggle a little bit. That's going to happen. It's normal. It happened to Jack. But I really think he'll be all right. And overall, he'll definitely be in the lineup every night, because he needs to be ultimately. He is just too talented to not be in the Devils lineup for all 82 games as long as he's healthy.
He's an exciting defenseman. I cover the Canucks, and I've got Quinn Hughes, and he's really exciting. And Luke is just a bigger version of him. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy. The those two guys, and of course Jack Hughes as well. The very talented family, that's for sure. All right, Josh, what do you think about Colin Miller being added to this team? I mean, he's a veteran, 30 years old. Was in Dallas last season, 6 goals, 15 assists, 79 games. What do you expect him to bring to the Devils lineup here?
So I think they put Miller in as a penalty killer. He slides in on the third pair, right side. it sort of signals that Nemitz isn't going to make the team, I don't think, unless he really breaks his way through in training camp. So I think you see somebody like Miller sort of being the Brendan Smith, but on the right side, and giving them, you know, the veteran depth that they need, and the penalty killing that they lost with Severson and with Graves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be they're going to have some struggles defensively in the beginning, because you just lost a ton of games. I think something like 700-800 games between Graves and Severson. So you need something from Miller just for stability wise. I mean, my favorite Miller stat, I give a shout out to Ben Burnell of who covers the Utica Comets. Apparently in the AHL All-Star game, he won both hardest shot and fastest skater. So I think he'll fit in well in New Jersey with his skating.
For sure. Like, he does bring some offense. He's got a pretty big, good shot on the power play too. I don't know if they're going to use him there. They got some good defensemen to throw in, but he's definitely going to be on the penalty kill, like you said. All right, Neil, finishing off with you with this defense. You know, Josh mentioned those losses. I said they returned pretty much the same group. They're not returning the same group. They got two guys that they lost, Graves and Severson. Do you see that being a big problem? And what young guys do you see kind of stepping up to replace them? I know we talked about Hughes, but you got Kevin Ball in there as well. So what do you see with them?
I mean, it's a really good question. I just put out an article this week talking about, you know, looking at the Devils defense and kind of, you know, ranking him at least in the, you know, the first four guys that kind of stand out. And yeah, I mean, obviously losing that many man games, like Josh mentioned, you know, with Severson and Graves is unfortunate. And I think, and, you know, Daniel kind of mentioned this with Luke Hughes, but I think overall with the defense, you're going to see some growing pains. Some chemistry needs to be built. I think right now it's going to be about, you know, kind of creating, not really creating the system, but kind of going back to what Lindy Ruff wants on the back end and just getting everybody on the same page, especially with a couple of potentially new guys into the lineup. I think you're going to see overall, though, the Devils defense still be very strong. This is something that Tom Fitzgerald, especially ever since he took over as general manager, was something he really, really wanted to work on more than anything. And that was getting the Devils defense to being as competitive as possible and being as talented as possible. And I think we have two guys that I think don't get enough credit for how good and how stout they are defensively. And that's Jonas Siegenthaler, who's going to be our top left shooting defenseman. And then also John Marino. And the thing with John Marino that a lot of people saw last year, and it was mentioned a ton, was that Lindy Ruff trusted him so much that he would be out there against other teams' top guys. And he would really, really hold his own. There were several times when he played guys like, you know, Johnny Gaudreau or Connor McDavid or, you know, again, Leon Draisaitl, David Pastrnak. And he did a pretty bang up job in those games. And he's going to be a guy that we're going to rely on a lot on that back end. You know, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's very, very, you know, consistent with his stick, getting the puck out of the zone. Very, very solid penalty killer. So I think you're going to have to see a couple of guys step up. Like you mentioned, Kevin Ball. Obviously, Colin Miller can certainly come in and help out some. And then you got, you know, like I said, Marino, Luke Hughes in some degrees, Siegenthaler, and obviously Dougie Hamilton. I think that's one that people at times seem to kind of forget, because for all of, you know, the excitement that Dougie Hamilton brings offensively, there is sometimes some questions when it comes to how he plays defensively. And sometimes he will look a little lackadaisical, maybe make some, you know, mental mistakes. And I think that the Devils system defensively, the way they have it set up, I think is going to allow Dougie to improve. And having a very reliable defensive defenseman being paired with him with Siegenthaler, and you saw it a lot last year, I think benefits him tremendously. So I think overall, might take a little bit of time, you know, early on in the season, but I think as the year goes on and we get closer and closer to the trade deadline and obviously the push for the playoffs, I think the Devils defense is going to end up being A-OK, and I think it's going to be very, very solid.
Yeah, especially those young guys. You know, Luke Hughes plays just half of what he is capable of. I think you're going to be pretty good. But yeah, this defense is still pretty good. You still got veterans, like you mentioned, and the young guys being kind of mixed in. And Simon Nemitz, who knows? I mean, he could potentially be a guy that could make a difference in this lineup too. I don't know if there's spot for him right now, but he's going to have a really good training camp. But he has a ton of potential in the NHL too. So And he had a great season in the AHL as well. So, all right, moving to the goaltending. And this one is going to be a bit, I don't know if it's a huge change, because Akira Schmid did play as a backup quite a bit last season when Blackwood was hurt. But Blackwood is no longer with the team, Mackenzie Blackwood. So he's with the San Jose Sharks. So now Akira Schmid is the backup to Vitek Vanacek. So Josh, what do you see with this this tandem? I mean, Schmid is basically the full-time backup now. He had great playoffs, as everyone knows. Had ridiculous, brought them basically from, 2-0 down. He came in, a couple of shutouts, one probably bad game, but then had the shutout in game 7. And, didn't have a very good with the Hurricanes, against the Hurricanes. But, I mean, the whole team didn't. What do you feel with this tandem going into the season?
So I think the thing that's interesting is you hear reports that they want, I think Saravalli reported it, that they want Schmid to get more time in the AHL. I think he played 18 games last year. He's played 24 total in his career. You saw Vanacek wear down towards the end of the year. I don't know if he was injured, but by the end of the season, his confidence was completely shot. So the biggest surprise for me was that they haven't added goaltending at all, other than Eric Calgren, who is clearly AHL depth with Nico Daws hurt. So I think the question I think that Fitzgerald has to answer is he willing to risk a year of his core's prime on whether Vanacek can turn it around and be a number one goalie in the playoffs? I think it's unfair to expect the same of Schmid. Schmid's 2 years removed from the USHL or 3 years removed from the USHL. And Schmid's a good player and had a great season, but he deserves some time to develop. But I'm surprised they haven't made a move. The one thing that I thought was interesting, I went back and researched teams adding goalies at the deadline. And from what I could discern, no team this century has won a Stanley Cup after adding a goalie at the deadline. So I think it's now or never. I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe add somebody on a PTO as a backup. But I think they need to address it, do something.
For sure. It is. I mean, Schmid has had a great, those playoffs were just, he was just out of this world. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to expect that something he'll do during the season as well, but yeah, he definitely deserves some time to develop. He's only 23. So, I mean, goaltenders usually develop later. So we'll see. Neil, what do you feel with this goaltending? Is Vanacek still a guy you feel confident in being the back, basically the back end of this ridiculously talented team in front of him?
Yeah, well, it should also be mentioned as well that, with Schmid, that the Devils do have a lot of control over him for the next couple of years. So I can understand more why the Devils would be very much willing to allow Schmid to go back down to Utica and kind of, develop more. But in terms of Vitek Vanacek, I wrote a piece last week talking about that. I think he's going to bounce back. And what I mean by that is that he had a tremendous year last year. You look at statistics, he was only the second goaltender in Devils history to win 30 or more games in a season. And look, the Devils don't make the playoffs without Vitek Vanacek's performances. Mm-hmm. And I think Josh kind of nailed it on the head. I think Vitek kind of burned out as the season went on. This was the most games he had played. This was the biggest role in his still young career. He's only played 4 seasons in the NHL. He hasn't played that long in the league. And yeah, his playoff stats through 7-8 games of his career don't look very good. And that is going to be a big question mark for him. But I think the team in front of him is still very, very good. And I think for him, he's going to be incredibly determined to get this thing going. And, am I going to expect the same crazy stats that he put up last year? No, but I still expect him to be very solid back there. I still have a lot of faith in Vitek. The Devils obviously knew something that a lot of us didn't when they acquired him. It seemed like, in particular, Marty Brodeur seemed very high on Vitek when the Devils did get him. So I have faith in the organization and in Vitek that he's going to turn it around. And I think one thing to keep in mind to look at is, as Josh mentioned, I mean, the Devils don't have a lot of veteran, goaltending options in their system that they could have backup VTech. Could be somebody like a Yaroslav Halak on a PTO that could come in, maybe make a run, and maybe become the backup and just give VTech the opportunity to kind of get some rest. I mean, right away, the Devils play back-to-back to start the season on Thursday and Friday. So, like, right away, you know, VTech's going to probably get a pretty big load to at least start the season. But I want to see how Tommy Fitz goes about it, you know, in terms of just how he's going to assess the goaltending. And just keep in mind this. The Devils did call Winnipeg several times about Connor Hellebuck. Yeah. So clearly, Tom Fitzgerald is aware of everything that's going on. And he's going to do what's best for the organization, you know, regardless of the situation. But I think right now, going with VTech as your 1A is not a bad option at all. And I think we just got to ride him. And I hope we keep riding him because I want this, you know, I want this Hibachi trend to continue, man. I really want it to keep going. So, but yeah, I do have a lot of faith in number 41 between the pipes.
Yeah, he had a really good season. I mean, I think the playoffs were kind of the thing that everyone kind of started having question marks about him. But he was basically their rock back there for most of the season. So you got to hope that he'll just be able to, they'll be able to keep him rested maybe a bit throughout the season, but we'll see what the backup situation goes throughout. And in training camp, they do add another veteran to complement him. Mm-hmm. All right, Daniel, now we've talked about all these position groups. The Metro Division is not easy. I mean, it is a battle. At the top, you've got the Carolina Hurricanes are probably the top of the division. Although the Devils were right there with them. Where do you feel they stack up in this division now with some of their additions and, I mean, their losses on defense, but where do they stack up in this very tough division?
So, yes, the Metro is a gauntlet, but I do kind of feel that the Devils are entering their contention window at the perfect time because now is when teams start to slip. Like, the Islanders seem like they're kind of losing their plan a little bit. The Rangers are getting much, much older. I really feel like for at least this season, Carolina and the Devils are the only ones who will maintain high standing rankings the entire season. Carolina is a very, very good team, similar to the Devils, a lot of young talent, very, very great with their depth. We saw that in the playoffs. There's a reason they beat us. I don't think that was a fluke. I think they truly were the better team in that series. Mm-hmm. And I think Carolina speaks a lot to like what I talked about earlier, where depth is so, so important. They had guys like Stefan Nason, Jordan Martinuk, just stepping up when they need it in big moments. And I really think the Canes and the Devils are going to be giving each other a run for their money and both fighting for that top spot in the Metro all season. I don't see the Rangers doing it. And then obviously you have the lower teams like the Flyers, the Blue Jackets are rebuilding. There's potential. The Penguins are trying to stay afloat. I think they could definitely be a playoff team, but if so, more of a wild card team. But I think in terms of tops of the standings, it's going to be the Hurricanes and Devils. And if I had to pick right now, just based on experience, I would see the Hurricanes edging out the Devils, but I can't say that for certain. That would be if I had to choose. It's going to be very, very close.
Yeah, I mean, I think the top tier there in that top tier, I mean, it's a very good, I mean, we were talked with the forward group very deep. Their defense is still pretty solid. And Vanacek's a pretty good starting goalie. So, I mean, I think they got pretty good, you know, overall team. And they'll probably do the same as what they did last season. All right. Well, thanks, Neil, Josh, Daniel, for coming on the show and previewing the New Jersey Devils for this coming season. It's going to be fun. I think they got so much talent up front. Lots of potential for goals and offense. So, definitely excited to see what they can do for an encore from their ridiculously good season last year. So first, before we leave, Neil, give everyone your social media and where everyone can find your stuff.
Sure. So, yeah, you can check out, you know, all the articles that I post on the Hockey Writers, you know, Neil Villapiano, I write for, obviously, the New Jersey Devils. You can follow me on Twitter at THENVPSHOW and also on Instagram at NVPQB11. And also go check out the Devil State of Mind podcast. Covers the New Jersey Devils over at the Hockey Podcast Network. And, you know, I've had both of these lovely gentlemen below me on the podcast. And, you know, we're kind of moving into, I think, now season 5. So I'm very excited to to continue with that. We're starting a YouTube channel very, very soon. So I'm really excited for more content. And yeah, that's where you can check it out. So you can follow us on Twitter at Devil State, Instagram at Devil State of Mind. Also give us a like on Facebook as well. And yeah, that's where you can find all of my stuff. And for the podcast, just search Devil State of Mind podcast. And if you're on Apple or Spotify, just give me a 5-star rating. It helps out. And yep, that's where you can find all my stuff.
All right. Sounds good. And Josh, same thing, social media where everyone can find you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, after listening to Neil, I feel like I definitely don't do enough.
Could have gone last.
But yeah, no. So the easiest way to find me is either on the Hockey Writers website for my Devils coverage, or I usually put everything out via Twitter at Jay Reinitz ESQ. Looking forward to more coverage. And it's a great time to cover the Devils right now. We have a lot of great content on the site, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
All right. Sounds good. And Daniel, finish it off. Social media, where everyone can find you.
Yeah, so all my articles are posted on Twitter, Daniel_Amoya. I cover the Devils there, posting pretty consistently, not just the Hockey Writers articles, but really anything with the team. There's so much going on, especially with the season about to start. And also the same thing on Instagram, devils.report. I've been covering the Devils there for 5-6 years now. And really exciting time because, as we know, so many big things in store for this team, and just to see what their on ice product looks like when the season is kicked off, that's going to be a great thing. So if you want to check out my Devils coverage, do that, or just look up Daniel Amoya at the Hockey Writers website, because you can find all my articles in one place there. So looking forward to see how the season goes.
Both of their latest articles are really good. I highly recommend you go check them out. I really do.
Thank you.
On that note, make sure you're checking out all the articles at hockeywriters.com, the New Jersey Devils section of the site there. Lots of great content, as all these guys already said. We got some great stuff going on at the site. There's also a New Jersey Devils Substack, I believe, is already out.
Yep.
It will be when you guys are watching this anyway. If it isn't already. Make sure you're checking out that as well. And give this video a like. Throw your comments in the comment section below. You can answer all those quick fire questions yourself, and subscribe to the Hockey Writers YouTube channel. We've got shows, Hockey Writers Roundtable is going to go throughout the season. We also got a bunch of different shows on there as well. So definitely check all that out. And until next time, we'll see you on another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable.